Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 5 through verse number 8. And the Bible said, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified," you'll find this in Psalm 8, "saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things under him." Father, I love you and I thank you for the day, for the every prayer you've answered, every time I've come to the throne of grace, every time you've extended me mercy. Bless your name forever. God, if anyone could exalt the mercy of God, it'd be Mike McCoy, but it endureth forever and ever and ever. Now I need you again today to stand with me. God, fill my mouth, guard my tongue, and use me for your glory. I pray what's done and said here today would be according to the will of the sovereign of heaven. I'm praying to be accurate in the scripture, and I'm praying, God, you might save one, encourage one. God, restore fellowship, whatever the need might be in the life of those sitting before me today. God, it's all of you and for you, and I ask it in Jesus' name. I pray, amen and amen. We know that this book is to the Hebrews, addressed to the Hebrews. That's the name. I believe personally the Apostle Paul was the writer. Some have other writers in mind, but here's what I'd like for us to understand. It is concerning pointing the people, the readers of this book, to who Christ is. He's the better way. He's the better sacrifice. He's the coming King. He's the reason that we have salvation today. There's not salvation, not in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is in Christ Jesus alone. There's not many ways to heaven. You won't get there by being pretty or good or smart or rich. You won't get there because granny's gone there or grandpa was a preacher. You won't get there because mama's a Sunday school teacher and daddy's a deacon. You'll only get there by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to heaven. And I'm telling you, the alternative, it's either heaven or it is an eternal flame called hell. And there's no in between. There's no gray area. And those that don't know Christ, they could be the best moral man ever living. They'll never make it to glory unless the blood has been applied, the grace gift has been accepted, and faith has been placed in the Lord Christ. If that's not the case today, you're not going. But if you've been born again, you trust the Lord. Praise God, you trust him today, you'll trust him tomorrow, trust him forever, you're trusting the Lord. I'm telling you, that's who I'm preaching to today. This is being written to people that are believers. Brother Gordon said it in Sunday school. I don't know how many times I've read this, seen this. I've preached on both sides of this verse, but the other morning I had begged God for what to preach, and I come to verse number 8. But now we see not yet. Not yet. That's what I'm preaching this morning. Not yet. Now, if we examine these verses right here, we have to understand something. When you read down through this, I want us to look briefly. What is a man? What is man? That'd be us, mankind. You ladies, sisters are included. That thou art mindful of him. How can the God of heaven, who made all things, be mindful of us as small and insignificant as we are? I'll tell you why. He loved us before we loved him. We love him because he first loved us. And God is love, and God so loved the world, and he commendeth his love toward us. All these things are true. That is why, it's because God loved what he made. It's like it's supposed to be in families. When mama and daddy make a baby, and it takes a mama and a daddy to do that. That's another message. I'm just going to tell you. And I'm not even going to be kind right here. This is a little militant, maybe. But if you're so stupid that you think two men can have a baby, friend, you got major problems. It's a wonder you can get out of the bread in the morning. If breathing wasn't automatic, you'd already be dead. And I'm not making friends in that. And I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. I'm trying to get you to heaven, bless God. And you got to get this mind to thinking right before the heart will ever get right. Who is man? Who are we? Who is man to shake his fist in the face of God and say, I don't like your book. I don't like your rules. I'm going to do what I want to do. Who are you? And my goodness, and God would be mindful of us. Thou made us... or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. That's what he done. If you're here and you're saved this morning, what a privilege, bless the Lord, that the King of all glory come by one day and said, I want to talk to you. Amen. Call Bill Lee this afternoon. Say, hey, Bill, I'd like to talk to you a minute. Well, who are you? You wouldn't even get to Bill. Somebody cut you off before you ever got to. Hey, he don't know who you are. You're not talking to the governor this afternoon. But I can go to the throne room of grace and talk to the creator of all things. He visited me. He comes by where we are. My goodness, that ought to make you smile if you're free will Baptist. That ought to make you happy. Thou mayest a little lower than the angels. We did. We don't have the power angels have. Angels are always in the masculine, by the way. They're not a bunch of long-haired women out there running around like all these paintings show and all this stuff. They're masculine. In the Bible, God do whatever he wants to do. But what my information shows me in the Word of God, they're given in the masculine. But he made us a little lower than the angels. Why? Because angels can't die. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Now, I want to ask you a question right here. It's kind of a Sunday school lesson / message today. Who's him? Who's the him in those verses? I got one that says it's Jesus. But now if we go back, and amen, A plus. But if we go back to the beginning of the book, and we go back that God's mindful of man and what God has done in the beginning of the book. Here's what God done. God made man and he gave him dominion. In chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26 or 27, you'll have to look it up. But he gave him dominion over all the earth. So what did he do? He set him over all these things. So we can take Adam and put him in these verses right here. It is applicable to him. But Adam, something happened. Adam had dominion, but Adam lost dominion. God had given him dominion over all things, all the earth. Adam could walk up to an elephant and pet him on the trunk, and he never, the rhinoceros, the dinosaurs we learned about, the vegetarians, by the way, that we learned about. He could just walk up to whatever was there, and Adam had dominion over it all. He could have swam in the sea, and the white shark would have just swam. He had dominion over all the earth, all the fish, all the fowl, the Bible said, out of all the cattle, over everything, Adam had dominion. So the question is that verse, are those verses applicable to Adam? I think so. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. But dominion was lost. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible said that they had taken of the fruit and their eyes were opened. The glory that was upon them, son, it's good to see you in church today. The glory that was upon them has now disappeared. The Shekinah glory, they see their nakedness, their need of clothing. They sew fig leaves together to try to cover themselves. Why? Dominion is lost. Why was it lost? Sin, A plus. Sin. Dominion was lost because of disobedience, transgression, if you would. God told them no. They said, yeah. You know what we like to do? We like to do what we like to do. Whether God likes it or not. I mean, we just like to do what we like to do. And I'm not going down the list, but right now something's come to your mind that you're thinking, I probably shouldn't do that. But I like to do it. You know what that is? If you know it's against the Word of God, guilty, that's a transgression. That's a transgression. I transgressed against what I understood. God said no to. Now, we go here. Stay with me. I'm being done. I can be done in 15 minutes, I promise. So, dominion is lost. But now that was what the first Adam done. But the last Adam came. Who is that? Jesus. The last Adam came, and you know what the last Adam done? He took dominion back. But he left us here. Now, if we had dominion, here's what we wouldn't have. Old Fisher wouldn't spend all that time in the hospital and try and get better. I wouldn't have gone to any more funerals. We wouldn't buy life insurance. I mean, if we had dominion over all this stuff, we'd have dominion. Right? These things cannot affect us anymore. There's three words right here. Let me give these to you quickly. In verse number 8, I think we have a twofold meaning right here. You can agree or disagree. It really doesn't change the scripture. But God says things one time and covers a very, how many knows this, and covers a wide scope of things. And the rightly dividing and the understanding is up to us. Are you still with me? Have I lost you? Do you know that we lost dominion? Adam lost it. Jesus took it back, but Jesus is not here. And so he still, we don't have it, not yet. So here we have corporately, this refers to mankind. Did he set us higher? Yeah. Are we a little lower than the angels? Yeah. Why? Because we'll die. Positionally, I'm better than angels because I'm son and not an angel, not a created being. I'm a son of God. So in position, I'm better off than the angels are. Right, you find that in the earlier verses here. He didn't tell angels this or that, but he did the sons. Now, here we go. So, is that in reference to man? Yes. Who? Adam, particular, mankind after him, but particularly Jesus. He is the Son of Man, and all things are under him. There's nothing that's over Christ today. How many's bored to death right now? Say, not yet. Hang on. So here we have, in these passages, reference to two. To mankind? Yes. To Jesus particular? Yes. Is he not the Son of Man? Now, do we not know in the next, in verse number 9, we're going to find he is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, because he couldn't have died unless he was. So God came and put on man that he could take man back to heaven and have a man standing in for mankind. There's a God-man in heaven. His name's Jesus. You can touch him and feel him. He can eat broiled fish and honeycomb. He can cook by the seaside. But he can still just walk through a wall and show up. He can do all these things. 3 words. But now. What is now? Present. Why not then? But now, present. Present time, now. Because had it been when Jesus was here, they were seeing the things, they were seeing him do things that showed his kingdom. It means he's king over his domain, kingdom. The king of his domain, kingdom. They would see him doing the things of the kingdom, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the heavenly king, the Messiah, to a Jewish audience. There he is. He's speaking these things. They would have seen that. Had we been alive then, we would have seen it. Brother Tim, we don't see that now. I mean, I'd like to have been there that day when he messed that funeral up. That woman, that widow, a name was headed out to the funeral. And that boy's in a box. They don't record that mama shouting like she, I'm just thinking though, she weren't quiet. When he told that young man to rise, and he rose up out of the coffin, I don't know if the boys carrying the coffin dropped him, turned him over, if he climbed down or what happened, but I'm going to tell you, he didn't stay in the box. And mama was happy, because her husband's dead, and her boy's dead, but Jesus showed up, and because he had dominion over death, before he ever died, he had dominion over death. Hallelujah. Hey, what did he do? He told him to get up, and he got up. Messed that funeral up. So there's the sorrow. Then we see a woman out to Luke 9, somewhere in there, where she has a spirit of infirmity. You ever caught that? The woman that was bound had a spirit of infirmity. I'm going to tell you. Now, I know you think I'm a nut job. I call Mox and Ben, they'll come and get me. But there's a lot of things that we consider that the medical field and science says, oh, it's all just medical and science. Well, it wasn't that way in Jesus' day. This is a spirit that has her bound. There's a lot of spirits that bind people today, and it contorts them and gets them into all kinds of bad shape. And they're bound up by this thing. This woman's been bound for 18 years with this thing. My goodness, people are bound up with these. It is a spirit of infirmity. So he goes from the suffering, and she's in great sorrow. Listen, she is suffering. She's sorrowful over this thing. Jesus just tells it to come out of her. Straightens her up, and she goes on her way. And they all got mad because he done it on the Sabbath. Instead of being happy that someone was set free. So we have these examples of him illustrating or giving an example of his authority. But then it's over sin as well. Zacchaeus is up the sycamore tree. Jesus told him to come down. He comes down. And you know what they're doing, Brother Branson? They're now fussing about Jesus going to eat dinner with a sinner. He's going over to the sinner's house. I don't know about you, but I'm glad, bless God, he still comes by those sinners' house. What if he just said, no more, not going to the sinner's house anymore, I'm not going. Deal with the law. You've crossed the line of grace. I believe some done that. If they've ever been turned over to reprobate mind, they're gone. They're done. They'll never be saved. Never. That word means rejected. There's a multitude of people in this world today that has done that. Not a doubt in my mind. If they'd done it in Jesus' day, it hadn't changed nothing, Brother Branch. We still made out of the same mud. So there we have now the present time. What do we see present? Do you see that? Can I ask you, when's the last time you had a funeral and somebody got up out of the coffin? Never. We didn't see that. Now, I've seen God release some from an infirmity, but I didn't physically see it. I just seen the evidence of it. Spirit infirmity. Have you seen him? Have you seen him go home with sinners? Oh, yeah, but I have not literally seen him speak to the sinner like he spoke to Zacchaeus. Not yet. Now, I've seen the evidence of these things. I've not seen anybody get up yet, but I will. Not yet. So we see the people, I mean the present, and then we see it, then we see we. We see what the writer of the Hebrews here said, we. Who is that? That's the people. Who's that include? This 30-something years after Jesus has ascended unto the Father, right here. Hey, 30 years does a lot of things. 30 years in today's time make you a lot older. These young men right here don't think 30 years is going to do anything to them, but in 30 years, you boys are going to remember an old whitehead preacher and said, you know what? 30 years made a difference. And then some of you are not going to be here in 30 years. You're going to be gone. Some of us might not be here in another 5. We don't know. We don't know. What is your life? It's but a vapor, appears for a little time, vanisheth away. So we see these people. Now here's what we see today in the world. Stay with me, just a few more minutes. Here in the world today, we see chaos. It's just chaotic. I mean, if there's not something, if everything's going good, somebody will do something, make it go bad. They can't stand it. They can't stand it when it's just good and normal, calm and nothing going on. Hey, got to do something. Need a little excitement. Die and go to hell, you'll have plenty of that. What do we see now? Today, out here, Brother Paul, it's just chaotic. Things are crazy. And when is that in this present time? Have I seen the things under his feet? Not yet. Do I believe they're under his feet? Yeah. But I believe there's a prince and a power there called the devil, and he is the god of this world who's blinded the minds of them, lest they'd believe and be gloriously saved. He's the god of this world. So am I seeing this? What's the Hebrew writer saying here? Not yet. So we see it in the present. We see it. We see in the people. We. He's saying we. And then he says this. See. Now we see. Now, present, we, the people, see perception. A large percentage of the people in this world today don't have a clue what the Israelis and the Palestinians fighting over there mean. They just think it's some little country in the Middle East throwing rockets at each other, and they are clueless to anything about Bible prophecy. Hey, you don't see it. Does it look, can I ask you a question? Does it look like this is all under him? Does it look like everything's going the way it's supposed to go? I mean, when we see families torn apart and babies being killed and people being abused and things being stolen and things going crazy. I mean, hey, does it look like everything's under his feet? Not yet. Not yet it doesn't. And the Hebrew writer told me that, so when I seen it didn't look like it was, I wouldn't panic. Listen, friend, if he was sacrificed, he's the sacrifice from the foundation of the world before anything was. I'm with John MacArthur on this. John, he and I disagree because he is a five-point Calvinist. I mean, he believes in limited atonement. I don't. But he is a brilliant man. Brother Gordon talked about gleaning things from people today. He is a brilliant man. We just disagree on that. But he said the miracles of Christ isn't his greatest work. Well, I think it should be. No, I agree with him. He said his providence is the greatest work of God. You know what that means? Oh, my word. That means before I ever got here, he knew what I was going to need, and he had it there for me when I showed up. Say, well, that's not a big deal. He done it for everybody in this room. Oh, how big's that deal? Now, everybody in this room, by the providence of God, he knew when you'd be born. He knew when you'd hear the word. Now, I'm not a predestination, but I believe this. I believe the plan was predestined, and God knows who will be lost or saved. There's not a doubt about that. But he gives everybody a choice. I'm a whosoever guy. Huh? Whosoever will, let him come. Listen, he knew what you'd need the day you'd need. He knew the message, David and Dressing, you'd need to hear the night you come running to this altar, jumped up behind the podium, said, the Lord has saved me. Hallelujah. He knew that day, Wade, when you come and knelt right there and we read the Bible together and God up and said, he saved me. Hallelujah. He knew what it's going to take that day. He knows what you need this afternoon. He knows what you're going to need tomorrow. The providence of God is already way ahead of us. You've not got into the place that God doesn't know what you're going to need. He knows the day I'll leave. He knows the day I'll leave. That's why I don't have to worry about it. If he knows, I don't need to know. And when I leave Casey, bless God, brother, I know where I'm going when I leave. I don't know how to get there, but that's why he's going to come and get me so he can show me the way. Vision, the perception of this, not yet. And I was up early this morning. Last night, read a lot, trying to get the hook, the bait, I mean to set it, to give it. Somebody's going to get this because no matter how bad it is and what's going on, look here, listen, friend, we don't see it. Not yet, but it's still under his feet. You better know, he is the authority over everything. Acts 17:28. But I found this in John. The Lord, Spirit of God, remind me of this morning. Behold, in hillbilly terms, that means looking here. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And the world knoweth us not because it kneweth him not. In other words, they don't see it. They don't understand it. It makes no sense to them. They don't know that God loves them. They don't understand when we say that God loves us. They don't understand that, Brother Randy Maynard. Huh? The world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. They don't know who Jesus is. And a lot of them don't want to know, Brother Bob. They don't want to know who he is. They could, it's like Dr. McMurtry said, look, 25% of them could care less if I fell over dead. They don't know who he is. Beloved, now, are we the sons of God? That's not a question. That's a statement. Now, we're the sons of God. Amen. Not going to be. Amen. now are we the sons of God. And it doth not, what? Yet. What? It doth not, what? Yet appear what we shall be. It doth not yet. Not yet. Appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Let's see, how is he today? Well, he's doing pretty good. Can I tell you, he's in a glorified body. He don't have a fault, a failure, a fear. There's not a thing wrong with him. I'll never be God, but I'll be glorified. Hey, and I reckon the suffering of this present time isn't worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What does that mean? That means, praise God, one of these days, all the suffering's over, all the sorrow's over, all the funerals are over, no more hospitals, no more issues, no more hurt babies, no more broken families. Everything in its place by his hand with the rod of iron. Bless God. Why is that? Not yet, but it's a coming. I can't have that here. Not yet, Brother Jeff Curley. I can't have that here. I can have it in my heart. I can have it in my mind. I can have it on the pages. But I'm going to tell you, I don't have dominion yet. This thing, this flesh and this world has dominion over me. Adam gave that up. He said, because in the day that you eat the fruit, you're going to die. And you know what? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's a coming. Death is coming, sure as I'm standing on green carpet and black boots. It's a coming. It'll come. It'll come to you. It'll come to you, boys. It'll come. It's going to run you down one day, Sister Nick. It's going to come where you are. And no matter how much you kick and scream and yell, carry on, no, it'll just get you where you are. And you can't do a thing about it, not one thing about it. But you can do this. You can be ready for it when it comes. And if Jesus knows it and he's got it taken care of, see, in Romans, Paul said it like this: death hath no more dominion over him. Death hath no more dominion over him. He has the keys of death and hell. Praise God. And he's always had them, by the way. Somebody said he went to hell and got the keys back. No, he didn't. He always had the key. If he had to go somewhere and get them, he'd have never got out. He had the key. He made this thing. He set it up. There'd been no death apart from him. He's got the keys of death and hell. He's got the key this morning to open your heart. He'll come in. He'll come in and sup with you if you'll ask him to. You know, a lot of people say, here's what they say. I've had people tell me this. I'm going to, but not yet. I know I need to. I had a fellow tell me this one time. He said, I'm going to live. Come to the piano, Sister Jewel. He said, I'm going to live kind of wild, sow all my oats, do all my crazy stuff I want to do. He said, when I get sick, and I'm going to get saved before I die. I said, son, that'll never happen. Amen. You get run over by a bus or a truck, hit you going down the road. You'll be walking down the street, an aneurysm pop in your head. You'll be graveyard dead before your body hits the pavement, and you'll never know. Look here, you don't plan these things. You don't set this up. You know what? If you're going to do it, you better do it now. Why? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It's not later. It's now. And if you know now, then it doesn't matter, not yet. Have I seen these things? Not yet. Will I see these things? Someday. Someday I'll see these things. Someday I'm going to see the Lord, Brother Tommy, face to face. I'm going to see him. Think he's got blue eyes? I don't know. blues have brown eyes. A lot of them do. But blues is a picture of heavenly. That's where his daddy's from. I don't know how he good looks, but I know this. He looks good. When he was here the first time, there's no beauty in him that we'd desire him. Bless God, when John seen him in on the Isle of Patmos, his hair's white. Praise God, that's not a sign. That's not a sign of old age, though the Bible says it's a sign of wisdom, saying it's a sign of purity and power. He had hair's white. His eyes are like a flaming fire. Glory to God. Hey, his feet's like brass. Hallelujah. He's girded up with gold around his waist. He's looking good today. I've not seen him yet. Not yet. But I will. I'm going where he is because he came and died for me where I was. If you died right now, do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you know? Do you know? And look here, you cannot convince me that you can't know, because in the Bible it would be lying when it said, you know you've passed from death into life because you love the brethren. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it if you want to. Either that or those verses are wrong. You know it today. As we bow our heads briefly in the sanctuary, I've kept you longer than I intended. What a privilege to preach to you people today. And I know this is what God gave for this congregation in this time, in this place. I know. If you don't know him today, I'd plead with you, come and call on the name of the Lord. He'll take you just as you are, just right now. If you're here today and you're that Christian, and I'm telling you, you're not understanding the things you're seeing, and you just don't like the way things are going, and maybe the fellowship with the Lord isn't what it, maybe Sunday night doesn't mean anything to you anymore. Need to talk to the Lord. Now's the time to do it. Do you need anything from heaven? Now's the time to do it. As we stand, Brother Randall gets that song. Melinda's going to come. I want the ordained authority to come. We're going to anoint her this morning. The service isn't over. If you need to pray, you're welcome to come. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.